Team, the choir, the orchestra. How many love our choir and our musicians? Hallelujah. They do a great job. We get compliments and people see them over Facebook, several hundred people every week. But thank you. We appreciate it. It gets the mood going too, doesn't it?
Amen.
Glory to God. You know, when Terry was asking for tithes, we need to worship the Lord. That's how we worship the Lord, by our giving.
Yeah.
We worship Him. And my wife and I, we were just in Sioux Falls here, Sioux Falls, South Dakota here last week. And what was sad is we drove to a church that her and I started our young Christian life in. And it was a church like this. It was longer, I think, but anyway, it was a church about this size, congregation, smaller congregation and everything, and God moved so many times in that little church, I can't believe it. People come forward and they'd weep and cry. People that were fighting and arguing between each other would get right before God in that little church, and the Holy Spirit was moving in the Pentecostal church. And what was sad to us is that when we drove there last week, we drove up to it, and it wasn't there anymore. It was a parking lot. And I started thinking, that's what happens when, for whatever reason, I don't know why it ended up that way, people quit giving. You know, to operate this place, it takes moolah. It takes money. And you'll notice that I never beg for money in this church. People quit giving, we quit doing. That's all there is to say. But it was kind of sad when we drove there and saw a parking lot where once a man had a vision that built that beautiful move in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. It's no longer there. And I hope and pray, should Jesus tarry, that Crossfire Assembly will continue to put the Word of God out there. Those watching too, I like to keep saying it, we're not going to be a popular church in the end time. It's not going to be, because we're one of the remnant churches. We're going to preach the truth of God's Word. And people don't want to hear the truth today, which is sad scripturally that talks about that. But we're going to do it. We're faithful to the Lord, and I know you are. We're going to keep going forward. Amen?
Amen.
How many want to hear the truth today?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I'm asking the Holy Spirit that you will move amongst us and move upon those watching today also, Father, that you will put it in our spirits that this message, and Lord, that you will challenge our own hearts, and if necessary, where we're at in life, convict our hearts, that we can move to serve a holy, righteous God. I'm asking for your unity today within the body of Christ. And Lord, I pray and thank you for each one of the people that are here today. No matter what their skin color is, or poor, they're educated or uneducated, means nothing to you, Lord. Is what you care about is them as souls, Father. You created them, the ability to do whatever you created them for. And so, Lord, we thank your name, and everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So my message today, are you ready?
Oh, yes.
Are you sure you're ready? The wrath of God. The wrath of God. You aren't going to hear that preached too much, are you? But we need to hear about the wrath of God, you know. The wrath of God is coming. It's coming. And you say, well, doesn't make any difference. No, Jesus. Do you have any friends, co-workers that don't know? If they don't get right with the Lord, they are going to face the wrath of God. We talked about Him, His holiness, His righteousness, His love for you and I. But there's a part of God's attribute. He has wrath. He has righteous indignation. And the reason He does is because He is a holy God. And I believe we are living in the last minutes, not deceived.
Amen.
Today we're watching television. We're seeing the multitudes getting states, but around the world.
Yeah.
3 million in London alone come out to the streets. But we're in such a time that if possible, even Christian, it is, but you know, I'm not a doomsdayer, but you know, I'm hearing revival, 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 revival. Because revival comes through prayer and it comes through repentance.
Yeah. Right.
Not through Charlie Kirk.
That's right.
I heard Charlie died for other people. And those are good things because I believe his heart was right with the Lord. He loves the Lord. Charlie Kirk. He was a man that God created to be used on this earth to point people to Jesus. And he did it too far that they want to worship this man. And God did not call us to do that. And many are being deceived following him, Charlie Kirk. Multitudes went into the kingdom of heaven because of Charlie Kirk. But I heard people said to the crowd, everybody who wants to follow Jesus, stand up. Several thousand stood up. Glory to God. I praise the Lord every time I hear him too. But my question is, why wasn't repentance offered? Jesus said, repent for the sin. We can't get into heaven.
That's right.
I got to be honest with you. God is holy. God, because a whole bunch of people stood up and said, I want to follow Jesus too. And I hope and pray. I have no doubt that God was moving in some hearts and lives. Supernatural revival up on the earth. And I hope and pray we do. But, you know, I don't read that in Scripture in the end time. Is what I read that the Lord said there's going to be a great falling away. And so my question is, to be on the safe side, is what we are seeing and experiencing today is that will bring a supernatural revival. Because if it's a true revival, you know what happens in a true revival? Cities are changed. Country good. Will we see that? Will we see things getting better in our nation? And will we see these people that stood up standing for what they believed against the flood? Will those same people begin to rise up now and stand? I'm hoping and praying it is, but I don't know. I'm just being honest with you. Because we're born again. And one thing I did hear Charlie Kirk explain in one of his videos, he explained being born again. That's why I believe that. But during his memorial, there was no repentance. If there was, I missed it. And if there was, I hope and pray it works, but it's what we need to be is in this.
Amen.
We need to read the Word of God. You need to make sure your heart is right with God by what He says. You will be deceived by the multitudes because broad is the way, and how many go?
Many.
That narrow gate.
Few.
Never follow the crowd. Don't follow the crowd, because it, all the remnant churches that are opening today that are open and God is open and filling it with pastors and people in the congregation because they're preaching the Word of God. So I just want to say that as a congregation and for those watching and what you're listening to. And we will see, should Jesus tarry, is this something that's true or is it a deception? The enemy doesn't raise your hands and jump around and shout. He doesn't mind that one bit. His heart changes. That's what he cares about. If you are radical for life out there beyond these walls and witnessing and people are coming to Jesus because of your life or you're compelling them to come to Jesus. So people, be real careful in the hour we're living. We're in the last minute of the last day. Whether you believe it, I've been reading this, and I've been seeing the things that are lining up in these last days. And let God be true and every man a liar.
Right. Amen.
And so I'm going to preach, you know, but the Holy Spirit laid on my heart today about God's other attribute. Because everybody in that crowd, I wonder if they would have stayed in. They stayed in there. Because that is part of who God is, the God that we serve. It's Him. But are you glad for God's love? Are you glad loving his every good thing, his goodness that he throws over each and every one of us? Are you really glad for that?
Yes.
Do you believe that God wants? He does. He wants to give you abundant life. Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
When you focus on it, you think about how wonderful God is and beautifully today about our Lord. When we think about Him, how wonderful and truly gracious He is, full of mercy and kindness and love. And that's who He is. But we can't live on that and believe that there's just one side of God. When you think the fact that the Bible says God is love, then how does the wrath of God? With God's help, we are called to love one another, right?
Yeah.
You and I, we're called to love one another. Not an easy subject, yet it's an integral part of His nature and His own perfection. Wrath is against sin. Did you hear that? Not against you. Against sin. That's why we sang today, holy, holy. God's wrath shows us His hate for sin. And it's tremendous. And because He wanted you and I to escape His wrath by sending Jesus that we could reconcile back to Him by what He did on Calvary's cross. What a love. Destroyed all of us, but He did not do that. He sent Jesus because of His love. It is the holiness of God that sins so tremendously. There's not even a word for it. When you and I sin in our life, God hates that sin. Passion. No matter if we call it a little sin or a big sin, God hates blackness and sin with everything within Him. That's His attribute. No sin will enter heaven. And we need to hear that today. Young people need to hear it. Older people need to hear it. And older people need to hear it. A person commits a heinous crime and faces the wrath of the courts. This would be completely justifiable because the punishment of that we're today, and you can see it on TV, you can see it in our internet, television, whatever, except we see evil forces trying to change that. People getting out of prison today, opposite. We're seeing evil is evil. Good people, Christian people, put in jail because they preach the gospel and they witness. It's happening in Canada. It's happening over in the UK right now. Christian people, streets preaching Jesus. But you can go out and you can murder somebody, you can beat somebody up and corrupt justice, and they'll sit there and they'll praise it. Today we're watching evil praise evil on the streets in America. God sees it too. We can say wrath is displayed by God, never to get represent His justice. God never pours His wrath out to get even with anyone. He never does that. As bad as a scoundrel I can be. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross.
Yeah.
We're in the day of grace and mercy right now, but it's going to end soon when that trumpet sounds. No man has ever dreamt they would ever see. And that's why we preach what we preach. We preach the truth. In other words, He is pouring exact revenge on any person. He will never do that. Romans 1:18, if you have your Bibles, you can follow me, or I think we put them on the screen up here. Yeah. Heaven against all. Say all.
All.
All ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth. All ungodliness. All unrighteousness. Nothing that gets by Him. Romans 1:32 says, who worthy of death? Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Shooters today. We see multitudes of people clapping their hands and shouting for the guy to get out of prison. Pleasure in them that do them. They're as guilty as the one who pulled the trigger. But we're watching it before our eyes. But you know why? Because there's going to be preparation right now. God is making preparation right now. And things are steaming. They're rapidly going forward. And the world isn't the same anymore, is it? The young 40s and 50s. Oh, there is still evil. No doubt about that. But it was a whole different world than we've got today in schools, colleges, and everywhere.
Yeah.
But we're watching things break down. We see evil on every side, and Jesus said it's going to get darker. So in this verse of Romans 1:32, you notice what it says? Who knowing the judgment of God, they had no fear. The evil did not fear God. It says, we who knowing the judgment of God, that Romans 3:18 says there is no fear of God before their eyes. And that's why there is evil and getting more and more evil, because they've lost the fear of God. We've lost the fear of God in churches. That's why Christians are living ungodly lives just like the world and trying to justify it, is because we've lost the fear of God. Because if there was true fear of God, we will quit some of the things that we've been doing.
Amen.
We won't try to justify them. Convicted. Romans 2:5, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against judgment to this earth. And it's coming soon. We need to be in a preparation of play. We need to be out there witnessing and God anyway. They know it. I've witnessed the drunks. I've witnessed people that were just bad as I was. I already need to be told is you need to repent.
Amen.
That's what we need to tell people. Get out of your sin before it's too late. Heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. See, the hardened heart is caused by your heart becomes hardened. I got to keep preaching that. If you have sin in your life, if you're watching, you have sin in your life and you're not repenting of it, your heart is in sin to a point you won't even know it anymore.
Yeah.
You won't even think, I'm a great person. I'm wonderful. You know, the Holy Spirit is no longer able to convict that hardened heart. It's caused by a long course of rebellion, living in sin, repentive by a hardened heart. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believeth abideth on him. The sinner already has, the unbelieving sinner has the wrath of God already up on them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why in our services, even last week, we had people recommitted to the Lord. Praise God. Never, never, ever back away from that. But we need to warn people. We need to warn people that there's a wrath of God. And you'll see the attribute of God manifestedness, stubbornness, unrepentant of hearts, and them rejecting Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You're going to see that wrath, that attribute of God, these things. The Bible has more to say about God's wrath than it does about his love. Did you know that? I was amazed just doing this message today, the little bit I got here. It speaks more. He's holy.
Amen.
He's holy. Hallelujah. He is the God of wrath as much as he is the God of love, who he is. What would you say about a pastor who told you about God's love and forgiveness and pain? That pastor would be doing you a disservice. That's why I'm preaching it today. I don't ever want to do you a disservice. Boldly. Not fear of man. God is calling pastors to do such thing in these end times. The beauty of God's principles are they don't just apply to judgment. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:9. And then God makes one child of God. Here it is. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. Good news.
Amen.
I bet you're wondering if I was going to. God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. It's open to anyone and everybody.
Amen.
He does not want. And through the blood of Christ, it cleanses us from sin. So it's not for us. It's not. The great promise of deliverance from the wrath of God is right. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we through him. You Christians don't get too excited about that rapture thing. You think you're going to escape all the horrible things coming on earth? Because we're starting to watch them coming. No, God is going to bring us all through that. And they're lying. That's not in here. God tells me right here, I read two of them, confirming to you right now. I believe the rapture is going to happen. One guy said, well, the rapture is not in the Bible. Yes, it is in the Bible. You got to study. Not just read word. Read it. Look it up.
Yes. Amen.
Paul here, day of the Lord, which will be that great day of the wrath on the ungodly world. No matter how moral or religious a person may be, because they rejected or they neglected Christ, the sacrificial death of his beloved son on a cross, and they want nothing to do with it. I'm watching people that have time praise God in public no longer do. And now they curse God in public because their hearts got hardened. It's not a time of the judgment and tribulation on the ungodly. That's what's coming on the earth. And that's why we should be out witnessing to every soul that we possibly can and warn them with. God's wrath is a response to man's sin. That's what it is. That holy, pure, righteous is responding to man's sin with his wrath. God, in his past response to Israel, sinful conduct, so they shall not enter into my rest, and they didn't. They all died in the wilderness until the new generation came forth. As he warns you and I today, the church, he's warning the world today. He's screaming from the rooftops around the world today. Something's coming.
Amen.
The actual leader of the UK this week, they just passed a digital system now where you can't, unless you got the mark from that digital system, you cannot go into certain places and you can't buy food unless you have the mark. Came out of his own mouth. In the world. It's open now. The Antichrist revelation. See, people, it's coming in the world's asleep. Discerning people only catch that stuff. What's happening? It's coming. The wrath of God is coming. You know something? The wrath of God is even better than the wrath of man, though. Because man, what they did to the Jews was pure evil, if you read how they tortured them. Skinned them alive, did all of it. God doesn't do that. He pours out his wrath. Paul gave a warning to the holy brethren. Paul gave a warning, I'll put it this way, to Christ. Brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You'd have that, but not if you willfully depart from God. He was telling the holy brethren, there's a danger. A hardness of the heart through refusing to hear and obey God. Those living in sin today within the cup, you don't know. And what it does to us, what it does to our families, what it does to people around us, it destroys. He warned us, but we keep on doing it. And Terry, isn't that nice to me to say, hey, don't walk out in the street in Coon Rapids when the traffic's coming both ways at 100 miles an hour. Terry says, boy, I'm glad you told me that to me. No, I know. We're still. Okay. Through refusing to obey God, the consequences of hardening the heart against God, open rebelling against God to provoke and tempt him, habitually God's law, and we do it against him. We sin against God. And he warns us. That's what Paul was warning the Christians back then. Paul again states plainly that Christians, the born-again men and women, can also return to an evil heart of unbelief, departing from the living God. God's wrath to the unbelieving Jew is documented in Romans 9:22. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endure with suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? He will pour out his wrath. God's going to pour out his wrath. He's going to pour it out on the unbelieving Jew and Gentile. Alike during his devastating time of judgment at the end of it, speaks of the classes of men that realize that God's wrath has begun by hiding themselves in the rocks of the mountain. You think it's going to be fearful time, or you think you're going to be that mocks God. Revelation 6:16, and said, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the..." It's going to be a fearful thing, and you will not... That person who is determining to live in sin and not repent, you will be fearful beyond... This is literal, but they couldn't even look at him because of his wrath. Because they knew that they rebelled against him. And who shall be able to stand? Who will be able to stand? Nobody. I don't want to see God angry. His wrath will also be poured out upon the ungodly Gentile nations who have been given. And God is doing that today. The gospel is being preached around the whole world right now. What he wanted done. He wants to warn Galatians 9:20-21, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship in stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication. I've heard some preachers say, "Well, I'll repent when I see the things get really bad." Chances are slimmer, I'll put it that way, not getting cold and hardened. God knows it. And this shows the sin of the hardness of the heart against God and continued in demon and idol warned them. However, the wrath of God, we must look to the Old Testament prophets of this unprecedented time of cataclysmic judgment on the earth. Here, I'll give you one. As we survey these prophetic passages of Scripture, we'll be looking for the defining description of the wrath of God, bringing about this fierce, unprecedented wrath of God, which will be poured upon the whole earth. God's showing us that it's him. In Isaiah 13, how? Say how.
How?
You know what that means? Boisterous yell! That's what it means. And it shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Isaiah 13:9, behold, the day of the Lord cometh cruel, both with it, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. God hates sin with a passion. And if it's not repented of, you are unintended for the stars of heaven. The constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth. And the moon shall not cause her light. The heavens and the earth shall remove out of her place. And this is really talking about the rebuilt Babylon of today. In the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his signs in the heavens is to be fulfilled in the future days of the coming tribulation that is coming upon us. And some believe that we've already begun to enter the third that UK president. You can't work in our country unless you have a mark. And if you and I want to go visit there, and it's happening before us right here. God spoke about it in Revelation way back then. He said it's going to happen. We're going to understand it today with AI and all the different things. It's happening. Revelation 16, verses 17 and there. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was great earthquake, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before the fierceness of his wrath, and every island fled, and the mountains were not found. And there fell. Upon men, weight of a talent, that's 100 pounds, by the way. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. But they didn't. That shows the hardness of the heart. They didn't. The 100-pound bag of potatoes, hailstones, 100 pounds coming. Zephaniah also pinpoints and describes the wrath of God in chapter 1, 14 and 18 verses. The great day of the Lord is near, the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of waste, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men that they will shall ward, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that... People, these are two Old Testament writers speaking as one. The wrath of God, it's coming.
Yes.
Preparations being made right now. The day of the Lord will be unprecedented time of judgment, which is yet to come upon the going to come. Everything else prophesied in the word that God prophesied has come to pass. This will also.
Amen.
It's going to happen in a day when you think not. For September 23rd. Yes, they're dummies because they didn't read the word of God. If you read the word of God, you wouldn't be so foolish to name a day and an hour for the coming of the Lord. We're on the brink. We're in the last minute of the last day. I was listening to one young gal who quit her job, gave all of her money away, and bawling. She said, I feel so foolish. She should. The prophet Joel's entire book done here. But even though I am getting close to the end of this message, that day's coming. It's moving toward it even as you. It's coming. Everything event that's happening in the world today, it's coming. Joel 1:15, alas for the day of the Lord shall it come. It's talking about the coming wrath. You can find it in Joel 2:1, Joel 2:10 through 11, Joel chapter 2, Joel 3:14, 16. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The Son of the Lord shall also roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the literally. The prophet Amos also gives his view of the day of the Lord in Amos 5, 18-20. Woe unto you that the day of the Lord is darkness and not light, as if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the houses and leaned his hand on the Lord, be darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it. It's going to be a dark time on this earth. Very dark. Important for much of the present day prophetic teaching, days of the wrath. The Lord starts at the beginning of the tribulation period, which we could possibly, the trumpet could sound before we get out of this building. If we are entering the tribulation, that's very, very possible. And their description of the wrath of God are supernatural in nature, by the way. God's wrath is supernatural. It's not like man's wrath. But as the planets, the stars, the constellations, then the way things are happening. 2 Peter 3:10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. This world's going to burn, baby. Yeah. Gold and your silver. Yeah. Don't worry about your Ford pickup. It's all going to burn. It's all going to burn for the wicked on the earth. And a day in which we all need to prepare. We all need to prepare for this. We need to be diligent about getting the gospel out.
Yes.
Their own loved ones about things. Yes, they're going to get mad at you. Yes, they won't talk to you anymore. But the Holy Spirit still convicts them.
Yes.
The day of hope when God's promises to his faithful will be fulfilled. You know, the martyrs up there are looking for the day when their blood will be revenged of God, the purity of God. And they see that God's wrath is just and right upon sin in this old world. God's prominence during the time of judgment. It says, the lofty looks of men shall be humbled. You better humble yourself if you're a prideful person. Much easier. Lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. pride is sin. It's one of the seven deadly sins. That's why humble yourself. That's why let's treat each other with respect. Don't think we're better than somebody else, because we're not.
Amen.
He created each one of us. God and God alone will be exalted, and recognize that the only one responsible for this time of judgment. As the author of events, there will be no question as to the supernatural nature of his working. The description given by these prophets in the passage above focus on the judgment of the day of the delivered. I want to say that again. The saints will be delivered. In each of these passages, one outstanding and significant feature is mentioned which ties all of them together. This darkness that the Bible is talking about is not like the darkness that we see when we shut the lights off. The wonders in heaven will result in the total darkening of the entire. This will occur in Joel 2:31. Some call it Joel. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great during the tribulation. This is echoed by Peter in his sermon found in Acts 2:20 when he proclaims the prophecy of Joel. Blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. Wow. See, this precursor or sign of the wrath of almost word for word accuracy for other New Testament end time passages. They all match the old and the new. They confirm one another. These wonders in heaven signal that the wrath of God is about to begin are also recorded in Matthew 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and this and the moon shall not give her light, which also happens five times it's affected, and the stars shall fall from heaven five times affected, and the powers. The great tribulation begins with the very temporary exaltation of the man of sin as the world's humanistic God, the Antichrist, which it could be getting ready to be entered in. Do you notice all the wars and rumors of wars? All the things that are being talked about in the world, even with viruses, food, bad things, all the bad things, even though we're supposed to be in a golden age, the world is getting darker. We need to be alert, people. And the way the people accepted this worldwide event of Charlie, when this Antichrist comes, he's going to be accepted by many from churches and the ungodly, because he's going to seemingly have the world's primed for it. We'll believe anything and anything. Look at how the church has walked away from the things of God in many ways, and they don't even realize it. Coming of the Son of Man in great glory, that nothing else can be seen in heavens. All else will be supernaturally darkened. Remember what happened at the cross? It wasn't just the darkness in a dark room or a dark at night. That darkness was pitch black and no one could see anything. It was a dark that we can't even describe. It's going to be black. There's going to be no flashlights. Nobody's going to outdo God. God is warning, and only his magnificent glory can be seen, because God wants us to focus on him. And when everything else is darkened out, the only thing we're going to begin to focus on him and him alone. Nothing else. So people, keep your hearts and lives ready. Mark chapter 13, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall and the powers that are heaven shall be shaken. I would imagine the saints will be able to watch that. I'm not sure. Upon the earth. This refers to the satanic hosts that now rule the air. They are now above us, but will not be at the coming of Jesus Christ. Principalities of five, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. The distress and perplexity, don't they? Don't they seem like they're getting worse? Storms are getting worse. But this is nothing compared to what's coming on the earth. Nothing at all. Revelation 6:12, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell onto the earth, even as a fig tree cast. The Old Testament prophets in harmony with the New Testament. It was prophesied way back there, and the New Testament prophesied the same thing. We're to sound the alarm, yeah. Documenting with pinpoint accuracy that the wrath of God, which the believer will be delivered from by the rapture. Unbelieving world cultivating the Battle of Armageddon. The rapture, the great deliverance of the Lord, will occur with precise time and a twinkling of an eye. So we don't need to look at a long time. It's going to happen so fast, you and I won't even be able to catch it. God said it, I didn't. He said it in first, and those which remain shall follow up thereafter in a twinkling. Why? Because God can do it. He's God. Appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Are you looking for it?
Yes.
Is this whole world making you excited and that you just can't wait for everything he gave us and everything, but we're not to hang on to it because it's going to all burn.
Yes.
All of it. And believe me, what he's going to give us, we won't even miss it. It is a great insight for that hope. But notice that we are to be looking for the imminent return of Jesus Christ, not the Antichrist. I'm looking for the rapture. The rest, he said, I'm coming for them who are looking for me. I'm coming for those who love my appearing. Those are the ones he's coming for. Are you looking for him? Are you loving his coming? Are you more and more evil with men and kings and people around the world with the filth? Are you looking to them? Are you looking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? It isn't getting brighter, people. Mankind will not make the world better. Charlie Kirk couldn't do it, and nobody else is going to do it. He's got a timetable, and it's coming to pass.
Oh, glory to God.
I see the filth even still spewed out. Nothing's changing. Hollywood still all just to attract men. Hardly wearing clothes. Men, same thing. Homosexuality on the rise. Trans, which is leaders, supposed to be statesmen promoting evil. Yeah. We're watching it before our eyes. Look for the King. Look for Jesus Christ, the pure and holy God. When you see him, you're going to be excited because all this here pain and suffering is going to be gone.
Hallelujah.
Within a moment, within a twinkling of an eye. Open him, purifies himself even as he is pure. That's our hope, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And there's more and more people say, I'm tired of this old. It's not our home.
Yes.
It's not it. And Jesus here, he's hearing the cry. You know something? I think two reasons he's held off. Because he loves man. He wanted to hear the cry of his saints.
Yes.
Do you really want me to come? Do you really want me?
Yes.
And he's listening. And I think the cry is getting louder and louder as we draw. It's far off. But God warns of impending disasters coming up on the earth. And they're even saying it today in the news. Something big is coming to the earth.
Hallelujah.
Happily happening before our ears and our eyes, people. We are watching it unravel. Get serious with God. The Democrats, the Republicans cannot stop what is coming to the world's problems. But he won't. Just as God delivered Noah and Lot, saving them from his same day judgment of saints by rapture in the very same day. Luke 17, 26, 30. Listen to this. He will pour out his day of the Lord. And as it is in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they had given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. It was in the day of the Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted. They builded, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from the day when the Son of Man is revealed. When Jesus takes the church, people, it's all going to unravel quickly. Many of the days of Noah were experiencing the evil, indicating that the return of Christ is soon. Each of us will be given an account of what we have done and how we lived our lives. God gives, I have the freedom to sin or not sin. We have the freedom to do whatever. He will allow us to do it, but he told us the penalty will come. God gives us that freedom. What remains is that whatever decision we make must be aware of the consequences. Will you be ready for that day? Let's all stand. We'll be ready for that day. We are in the time of God's grace and mercy right now. That's what we're living in right now. But that will end. Not ready yet. I'm not ready. Jesus said, now is the day. Now is the day. Not when you get ready. Not when you feel you want. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With every head bowed and eye closed, I want to get my life right. I need to know I'm right with Jesus. Just raise your hand if you're in here. I need to get my life right, because it's don't lie to the Holy Spirit. Put them up. Put them up. God sees those hands. People, I'm not a doomsday preacher. I'm a preacher of the truth. Hallelujah. I'm going to say a prayer. In fact, I'm going to make sure this stays active, this altar. Just come on up. Everyone. Prayer that covers the people who raise their hands. But there's those that haven't done it because they're... Ouch. But I'm not. You might even come before I'm done with this prayer. He's a holy God. Holy Spirit, move in the hearts. The prayer, whether you say your own or you want to join me with mine, let's talk to the Lord about this time. There's so many that will go to hell and they don't have to. Gave a small portion of what he tells us about him in his wrath. Lord, help me. We come to you and stand before you, Lord. Father, forgive us for our sins, sins that we may not even recognize. Right now. But Lord, we are asking right now. A fear of you in our hearts. We know you're a loving God, but we also... So Lord, we stand before you today as a church. Speak to our hearts, to convict us, to help us to turn from sin. And we add that Jesus will wash over us, that we stand before you righteous, sanctified. For you are holy. You're holy. Help us to hate sin. Today, Jesus. Today, Jesus, I stand before you as a sinner. I held back. Hey, Lord, I surrender these things to you, and that you would wash me with your word and come into my heart and life, and not just be my Savior, but Lord, I desire you to be my Lord. Help me to be ready. Help me to be faithful. Help me to share my faith with others. You. And I thank you, Lord, for you said, if I ask you to forgive me, you said you are faithful to forgive. And I receive that goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, looking at them individually. You're looking at our hearts. You know the work that still needs to be done in each one of us. Lord, you're to turn to you in every way possibly that your word will show and direct us, in order that when that trumpet sounds, we can boldly look at you. We don't need to sin. That's a lie of the devil. So Lord, help us as a family, a church family, to think we're better than the world, because we're not better than anybody else. nobody's better than anybody else, Lord. Help us, just sister in Christ that is struggling. Help us to encourage them. But help us not to pamper them, but give them straight your word now. Lord, meet every need they have in their life right now. Those walking in physical issues right now, I speak that divine healing power. The work was finished at Calvary's cross. Jesus said, it's finished. By your broken body, Lord, they are healed by faith right now. I speak to everyone watching. Mental problem, be healed in Jesus' name. Be delivered from demonic strongholds. Anyone standing here, that is same of Jesus. That no demon in hell can hold you. When you speak the name of Jesus and surrender to him, he will set you free. We praise you. We love you. Tell him that right now. Tell him you love him. Come on. Do it out loud. Do it boldly. We love you, Lord. Lord, we're preparing ourselves for your soon return. We're looking for it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us tell someone. We magnify you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray it. And everybody said, amen. I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. Shake somebody's hand. Thank you, everybody. Lord bless.